You know, during my stay with my community of the Beatitudes in Jerusalem, one day we made a stunning discovery. During the Passover meal, which is a very important religious observance among the Jews, there are a number of ritual foods on the table. It is very likely that the famous morsel of food that Jesus gave Judas was a leaf of lettuce. The unleavened bread is not eaten until later. Now, in Hebrew, we have got to know that the word for lettuce is raseret, in Aramaic, rasa. And the root of the word means mercy or compassion, rechem, in Hebrew. And this Hebrew word for mercy is the word used for maternal womb. So it's easy to understand. When Jesus gave Judas that morsel of food, he was actually offering him the divine rechem, mercy, like a tender mother who protects her child in the womb. And this gesture is full of meaning. Jesus is holding out to Judas in his hand all the mercy and compassion of heaven and earth. He hopes with all his being, now he will understand, now he will turn back to me. But once again, it does not work. Judas is just absorbed in thinking about his own plans. Did he even notice Jesus' gesture? His mind is tormented with anxiety and he obsesses over the details of his scheme. The evil one is definitely after him. It's written, as soon as Judas has received it, Satan entered into him. And this is the crucial moment, the turning point. Because when Judas refuses this morsel of mercy, he opens up the door to Satan. Before this, he was just harassed by the tempter. But now he's clearly saying no to Jesus' offer. In other words, he's saying to the evil one, come in, make yourself at home, the door is open for you. And my dear ones, we all know about this. At one moment, we feel temptation, and then at another moment, we make the decision to go along with the tempter. And at that second moment, the tempter becomes our master. Yes, it's written, Satan entered into him. So, Judas becomes the puppet, the plaything of Satan. Even his body belongs now to the evil one, his whole person. It's written, Satan entered into him and he went out. So we see that Judas gets up, controlled now by another one, by a tyrannical power. St. John in the Gospel adds, it was night. But what night? It was not only the actual dark night that spread out over Jerusalem. It was also the dark night of the soul, that depth of darkness, the black dungeon of the human heart that says no to the light. And into that night of torture, Judas sank deeper and deeper for the sake of his schemes, miserable schemes. He had become a puppet manipulated by his new master. Now, at this point, we should make one thing clear. When we say Satan entered into him, some people say to themselves, well, then everything that followed was fated. It couldn't have happened otherwise. No, this is not so. Let's not forget the passage where Jesus speaks to Peter when they are going up to Jerusalem for telling his passion that is to come. It's written in Matthew, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying,
oh God, forbid it, Lord. This can't happen to you.
But he turned and said to Peter,
get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things.
Had Peter become Satan? Of course not. Nor had he irrevocably given his soul over to Satan. He still had his free will. Still, at that particular moment, Peter listened to the voice of Satan, and Satan was trying to discourage Christ from doing the will of his Father. That's clear. And here with Judas, when we say Satan entered into him, the exact same thing is happening because Judas is listening to Satan, simply so. But it does not mean he had become Satan. In another passage in the Gospel, we see Jesus speaking with the scribes and the Pharisees, saying to them,
"You are from your father the devil, and you choose to do your father's desires."
But have we ever seen the devil produce human children? Of course not. But what does happen is that men submit to his will, to the mind of the devil. Speaking of Judas, Jesus also said,
"But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed."
Are these words of condemnation? Not at all. On the contrary, they show us all the deep compassion of God. In the Greek text, as well as the Hebrew text, the right word is not woe, but it's a cry of pain. You know, like you say in Hebrew, oy vavoy. When you feel pain in your heart, you cry, oy vavoy. And the same word in Greek, it means I suffer when I think how will be the suffering of this man. You know, I have compassion in my heart and I cry out to God. Likewise, when Jesus says, woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, what he means is, poor man, if only I could have spared him this terrible suffering that he's bringing upon himself. This is not condemnation. And you know, this word woe is linked also to that famous passage of the Gospel in the Beatitudes when Jesus says, "My children, I have shown you the way of happiness. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure of heart. Little children, that is true happiness, and I give it to you. But dear children, you are unhappy indeed if you choose a different way." Likewise, in Judas' life, Jesus is kind of saying to him, "How wretched you will be, Judas, if you choose to listen to the evil one. I'm so sorry for you, Judas. My heart aches for you. Come back to me, Judas. How I yearn to see you turn back into the right path and stop listening to that voice which is destroying you. Come back." You know, my dear brother and sister, this concept of fatality is contrary to the spirit of the Gospel. For example, many people say, yes, Judas might be damned because Jesus said about him, it would have been better for him not to have been born, you know. But again, we have to go back to the roots of these words, because even in the Talmud, which is a Jewish book, this expression is used, and it doesn't mean that that person is damned. It just means that what this person did is a catastrophe. It's very, very serious. This was used at the time of Jesus with that meaning, you know. Another example, when Jesus tells us, "Not one of them is lost except the one destined to be lost." And here also we could see in a Judas story that he was fated to act as he did, since he's called the man who is destined to be lost. And in other translations, we find the son of perdition. But Jesus pronounced these words at the point during the Last Supper when he addressed his priestly prayer to his father before he was arrested on the Mount of Olives. And in his prayer, Jesus is presenting Judas to his father as a lost sheep. But the lost sheep implies also the found sheep. At the end of the story, the lamb Jesus carries back on his shoulders. You know, the story of the lost sheep has a happy end. So when Jesus says this of Judas while praying to his father, he's hoping to go after this lost sheep and to bring it back safe on his shoulders. He called Judas a lost sheep because he knows that Judas is listening to the one who leads souls to perdition. But this evil one is less powerful than God. Our God shows much greater power in his mercy. And Jesus continues to hope. He hopes, and his hope increases as the moment of crisis draws closer.